Welcome back to Roar and Ballsy Exposed. My name's Mitchell and this is part four in a multi-part series. Joining me once again is the founder of Inspire Success Academy of Life and the author of the book that we're dissecting in this podcast, John Briggs. How are you going today, John?
I can't believe it's part four, Mitch. We're having a blast, aren't we?
Every week. Last week we covered chapters 4 and 5, which were It's a Learn, Not a Loss, and Visualization.
Yep.
So today we're going to kick off the chat with chapter 6. Negative attracts negative, positive attracts positive. So what's chapter 6 all about, John?
Okie dokie. So a lot of people in the world carry a lot of negativity with them. Whether that's a childhood thing or not, I'm not quite sure, but a lot of people do refer back to that and say they've had a bad childhood or bad memories from the childhood. And they can't sort of shake it off in their adult years and they blame a lot of their failures or lack of drive to their childhood, which I think is a bit bizarre. The other thing which certainly does not help at all is the news. And on the news, the television, the newspapers, the radio, I'll ask you, Mitch, how often do you hear anything positive?
Not very often. Like, you might hear a positive part in the sports report or something occasionally, but even with that, you're still getting half a negative.
For now. Yep. I'm talking general news, the headlines. What are the headlines usually?
I can't remember the last time I heard a positive story.
So it's normally about somebody getting blown up or a weird disease that's taken over the whole world.
Oh.
Yeah, and coronavirus being the latest one.
Yep.
And how many people it's killed. Daily tally, like a league table on which country has got the most. So how would that, if you keep watching that. Well, it's true, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's like a bloody league table.
It's a competition.
It's like a competition. That's right. It's ridiculous. So if you just keep watching things like that, just naturally, how will it make you feel?
It's going to make you feel negative and down with the world and with everything that's going on, like nothing good's happening because that's all you're seeing, especially if you're not doing a whole lot of new things in your life, I suppose. If you're just looking at these everyday things.
That's right.
That they're flooding the... Yeah. Brainwash box with.
Yeah. So, well, you're right. And that's exactly what I was about to say. So I was about to say that your brain, imagine your brain to be like an empty, it is for some people, an empty jug. And it's got no information in it at all. Until you start watching the news, reading the news, listening to the news about either aeroplanes continually crashing into silent buildings, and they keep watching it and watching it and watching it, and how many people are being killed from it? How many thousands and thousands and thousands? Or somebody who's been blown up in Iraq or Afghanistan or had their head chopped off in the middle of London or whatever it might be. Constantly watching this stuff. So they're filling this vessel, i.e. their brain, full of negative, bad information. So how would that then affect their demeanor, their posture, their vocabulary, their thinking?
Well, it's gonna affect everything in a negative way. If all they're seeing negative stuff, then they're gonna show in their body language, like you said, their posture, their way of thinking. Yeah. Everything's just gonna be negative, negative, negative.
Yeah. Now let's throw in something else that's happened. Maybe something which happens to everybody. Maybe the cat got run over, and they're watching all this stuff. How are they gonna feel?
Even more negative.
Absolutely right. And there's so many other things as well on top of that, which can make them feel even worse and even worse. Now look, is it a choice to take in the information that we see on the TV, read in the newspapers, etc.?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So to have a positive, let's say to fill that vessel full of positivity, what could they do to start?
They could stop taking in that information and start looking for positive outcomes.
Absolutely
things.
Right. Exactly. So they could stop watching the news. They don't have to watch it. They don't have to read the newspapers. They don't have to listen to it on the radio. Because, let's face it, on the radio, it's on every, half an hour most of the time?
Yeah.
I think? Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it really change in half an hour?
No, not really.
They might as well have it on repeat all bloody day. So, if they're listening to it all day, every half an hour, they're going to get a repeat of the negative crap that they've just filled their brain with. Turn it off. Simple as that. Don't watch it. Turn it off. Don't read it. Because all you're doing is filling it up with rubbish. So what happens if you fill it up with something that's decent? Let's say it's empty again, okay? Let's say I've got an empty brain. No comments, Mitch. Thank you. And I just start to fill it up with positive affirmations. Like, today is going to be a great day. That's a simple one, isn't it? You know, you write it down, today is going to be a great day. Why? Because I'm going to go and play tennis. What a beautiful sunny day. I can't wait. I'm going to be running around, I'm going to be breathing in lots of fresh air. Lungs are going to be working, my heart's going to be working, I'm working my muscles, I'm going to feel fantastic. And you never know, I might even win, which is going to probably make me feel even better again. Then I might, oh, I'll go to work after that, I'm going to have a great day at work. You know, I'm going to score lots of goals and hit my targets and train lots of people and make them feel fantastic. And blah, blah, blah. I'm going to have a great day. Okay, already, how would that affect my posture, my facial muscles? You know, all of those sorts of things. How would it affect
you? Well, you're going to be generally in a much better mood from the get-go. You're going to be standing upright and not slouched over and depressed.
Exactly.
And you're ready to tackle the day with interest of what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Thinking it's going to be generally a better outcome than,
of course,
than obviously.
And who's in charge of
it? You're in charge of
it. Okay. 99% of the world let someone else be in charge of their moods.
Yeah.
They don't have to let that dictate them. And they don't. It's as simple as that. Yes, shit happens. We all know this. Crap things happen to people every single day. Good things happen to people every single day. But we can decide on a lot of it. We don't have to become a follower to the negativity. That is what most people do when they follow it. And then they talk about it. It's even better, isn't it? So
yeah.
They then go and tell a friend at work,
yeah.
Oh, did you hear about this disease that is killing the whole wide world and da, da, da. And then on top of that, you get, oh, wait for this one. This is a crack up. You get a, what do you call it? A conspiracy theory. Oh, 5G. Here we go. Well, is that what it is? 5G?
Yeah.
Something like that. Something like a mobile phone tower that has been, you know, it's going to kill even more people. And then some idiot on the television who with a popular known name and a face backs up the theory. Starts crying.
Yep.
And then everybody goes, oh my God, did you see Pete Evans? Oh, he was crying. He must really believe in this. And so they believe in it. And so the whole wide world starts believing in this shit. So the whole thing becomes a pull down of negativity. Now imagine you're a reasonably positive person who wants to set up a business. You've decided that you're going to set it up, right?
Yeah.
You got your idea. It's a good idea. You've thought about it and you're ready to go. And your best friend says, oh, that'll never work. How would you feel about that?
Well, you feel like it's not going to work because you tend to listen to what your friends
say. That's just proven what I've just said. People tend to listen to what other people tell them, especially if it's en masse.
Even though they may be absolutely no more educated in that specific area than
yep.
you, and you might be more qualified, you still just because that's what they say. So that's
exactly. That's right. And if enough people say it, it makes you second guess yourself, and then you go, oh, probably won't even bother trying.
Yeah.
So for me, as we discussed previously, the word failure doesn't exist, sort of. I'd make
yep.
one exception here. The word failure is not trying.
Yeah.
If you've tried and had a go, you haven't failed at anything.
No.
All you've got is another opportunity to get it right. And another opportunity, if you do what we said in the last podcast, and learn. See, it's very difficult to learn with a negative mindset. I'm not saying that everything in the world is positive, because it's not. But I'm saying you can change the way things are by having a different mindset. Negative does attract negative. Look at negative people will hang around with negative people.
Yeah.
I use an analogy in the book. There's a chapter called, are you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
It's called The Vat of Shit, right? And The Vat of Shit is a great big imaginary corrugated iron, rusty old bucket, right? It may be, let's say about 12 meters high.
Yeah.
All right, and in the bottom inside, it's dark, and it's got a bit of water in the bottom, and it's got a load of shit in.
Yeah.
And it stinks. And some people just sit there. For whatever reason, they think they deserve that. They like it in there. They want to sit there. Because, well, what's the point? The whole world's crap. It's all doom and gloom. We're in yet another recession.
Yep.
And there's a disease that's killing us. I might as well sit where there's other diseases because, well, that's going to get me anyway. Give me another cigarette. You know,
yeah.
And it's what they do. They sit there looking pissed off, cross-legged in the bottom. Can you visualize it, Mitch?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, it stinks, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. And there's a few people sat there. So one day, somebody decides they want to get out of it. They've had enough. They don't want to sit in the stink shit anymore. They want to get out. Now, there's a rope ladder from the top to the bottom.
Yep.
So he starts to climb the ladder. And it feels good because he's climbing. He's heading towards the daylight. There's nothing stopping any of these people from getting out of this shit. They can make a decision anytime they like. That word decision, if you look at the second part of the word, it's a scission. It's a cutoff point.
Yep.
You leave your crap behind and you move forwards or upwards. In this case, it's both. Forwards and upwards, out you get.
Yep.
Make a decision to leave your shit behind, leave your stink behind, and get out. Get out, get in the daylight where it's nice and sunny, and start something good. So, Joe Bloggs gets out the vat of shit. There's a load of tents, people in wigwams, teepees. Yep. And they're at the bottom of the mountain. So he's now at the bottom of the mountain. He's climbed out the vat of shit. He's at the bottom of the mountain.
Yep.
Right? And a number of his friends are in the wigwams. He then ignores them because he wants to climb the mountain. He's going places.
Yep.
So he starts to climb the mountain. A number of people from these wigwams jump out and they see him. And they go, oh my God, he's climbing. Oh no, we're going to get him to join us. Can't have that. So they get a lasso and they try to yank him down. These people are called yankers. Yes, it does rhyme with something else. And that's exactly what they are. Because they will try to pull, no pun intended there, you down.
Yeah.
Okay? So, yes, they'll try to pull you down. Because they want safety in numbers. They don't like somebody succeeding because, well, it doesn't make them feel very good because it reminds them of the fact that they haven't bothered trying in the first place, which reminds them of their own failure, not trying. But the weird thing is they actually want to try too, but they just don't know how to. So up the mountain, he climbs. He's lassoed on the foot. They start to try to yank him down, pull him down. But he's armed. He's got a knife. Fantastic. He cuts the rope and carries on climbing. Now he climbs to the top. The great thing is at the top, not many people get there. So there's plenty of room at the top. Have you heard that expression before?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. There's plenty of room there because most people are at the bottom. So at the top, it's a very enjoyable experience. Rarefied air. And sit there and enjoy it. What a view. It's fantastic. You can see full 360 everywhere you like. Even better then, you can build yourself an aeroplane. And then you can fly. And then absolutely nothing can stop you. And those yankers and pullers will get nowhere near you. Now, in life, I want the people listening to this, as part of their task, because normally we do it at the end, but impromptu, I've just thought of this now. Write it down now. Write down something that you want to do, which it might be totally crazy. It might be what you think is impossible, but just write it down anyway. It doesn't matter. It might be to set up a new business. It might be to run a marathon. It might be whatever it is. Write it down. Then write down the people who you know would disagree with this and think it's a bad idea, who would not support you or who would not want you to succeed. Interesting, that last sentence, because even closest people to you might not want you to succeed. I don't know quite why. I think there might be a jealousy word in there. But it normally is. But that is often the case. So write that down as well. Then write down a list of people who will want you to succeed, who are positive people, who will applaud your effort and say, well done, that's a well done for having a go. Then what you want to do is write down how you're going to get there. What do you need? You can't just say, I'm going to do it and that's it. That's great that you're doing that. That's a positive mentality. But then you've got to back that up with what do you need to do? Okay? So let's take running a marathon, for example. 42.2 kilometers. Don't forget the 0.2, so the 200 meters at the end. My old marathon mentor, who used to work for me, Martin, who's probably going to listen to this, will back that up. He always used to say, don't forget the 0.2. It's true. A lot of people can fall apart with 200 meters to go. After running 42 kilometers, it's a long bloody way. I've run a few. I don't know what I'm talking about here. So with preparation. So what do you need to do? Can you just go out and run it? Of course you can't.
No, definitely not.
You, what do you need to do?
You need to prepare for it. So you need to build your way up, set achievable goals.
Yep.
That you can achieve in the beginning and then obviously work your way up to the point where you can run that distance.
Yeah.
Or can make that distance.
Absolutely. There's a number of other things involved as well. So you have to do your homework first.
Yep.
So you've got to work out your start point. So is it 1 kilometre, is it 3, is it 5, whatever. It's individual to that person.
Yep.
Okay. So you've also got to have a plan, right? A plan written down to stick to. So you write the plan over a period of, let's say, it's a 9-month plan to run 42 kilometres. You need to have that training.
Yeah.
Run every single day in your plan. You write out a 9-month programme with every distance and maybe every time as well, if you're bothered about times. You might not for the first one. It doesn't really matter too much. But every distance should be categorized. Let's say, for example, on Monday, it might be 5 kilometers. Tuesday, 7 kilometers. Wednesday, you might go back to 5 again, or you might do a 10 or something like that. Thursday, 7 kilometers. Friday, 10. Saturday, 5. Sunday, big long run, 15. I don't know. It could be whatever you are capable of doing. The next week, you would slightly increase the distances by whatever you're capable of doing. You would write it all out in advance so the future is already being created for you. Now, you can use this analogy in virtually everything you do. If you can create your own future with a plan and stick to it, it's like a roadmap. So the destination is there. You haven't got there yet, but now you know how to get there. Whereas before, you're blindly going along. So you've written out your plan and now you're going to stick to it. So what if somebody said, oh, that's a stupid idea. How'd that make you feel?
And you'd feel like you shouldn't be doing it at all.
Would you like that person for what they're saying? Would you like what they're saying?
No, definitely.
No. So on the list, are you going to put them in the negative or the positive list?
In the negative.
That's right. They're in the negative list. So do you know a lot of negative people, Mitch, who might say that kind of thing?
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, I think most people do.
Yeah.
That's a dumb idea. What do you want to do that for? You know, I hear it all the time. And I've run quite a few marathons and people still say it to me. You know, so, but that's up to them. What I've done, I've made a decision with those sorts of people. Yes, they still might be around me, but I don't allow what they say to even remotely affect me. It's like a filter. Bypasses. It's a bypass.
Yeah.
And that's what I have when I watch the news. I've got like a mental bypass. I might look at the TV. And even last night it was on. My wife said something about it. And I said, well, there's a perfect example. I was looking at it, but I filtered it past anything. Nothing soaked in.
Yeah.
So you can do it. And you just build up positivity upon positivity upon positivity. That's all you have to do. And if something negative happens, well, if you've got 100 positive things that have happened in a day and you recognize one negative, you've got 99 positives versus one negative. I think you're winning.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then you become a walking embodiment of positivity. You change your mental approach and you now believe you can do things by having a go. Using last week, there's no such thing as a loss, it's a learn.
Yep.
If you use that approach with trying new things, then anything's possible. Okay? So who would have thought, for example, that Roger Bannister 4-minute mile? Apparently it was impossible. Well, obviously it wasn't impossible because he did it.
Yeah.
And do you know what happened a few months after that? Someone else did it.
Yeah.
And then loads of them did it.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you? Did all these amazing athletes come out of nowhere? Yeah. Or was it a mindset?
I think, it's just a mindset that once they've seen somebody can do it, anybody can
absolutely.
Do it.
Absolutely.
Well, not anyone can do it, but well,
yes.
It is possible for anyone to do
it's
it.
It's possible for people to do it. That's right.
Yeah.
So how powerful is the brain?
Very brain.
Yeah, positive and negative. Look at Stephen Hawking.
Yep.
Okay. Had every physical disadvantage possible. Did it stop him from achieving incredible things?
No.
Not at all. What about every single Paralympian?
Yep.
Do they have a negative or a positive attitude?
A positive attitude.
Okay, so what's anybody fully able-bodied, what's their excuse?
They shouldn't have one.
They shouldn't have one. That's right. But they'll make them because they've got a negative mindset.
Yeah.
Okay, there are absolutely no excuses. And people can achieve whatever they want to achieve, Look at some of the Jews in the concentration camps who eventually got out. I mean, we have no idea what hell they went. I can't remember the guy saying that, but he had an incredible positive to survive all of, you know. So we've got it good.
Yep.
We've got it damn good. So most people fall apart when the laptops decided not to work.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know what to do with themselves. Oh, my God, what a terrible day.
Yeah.
Well, crikey, what if there was no laptops?
Yeah.
You might have to go to the library and research something. Heaven forbid.
Yeah.
Bloody hell. So, yes, positive attracts positive. Now, if you then become a very positive person, you will attract other people who are of similar nature. So then what happens is you've got a whole bunch of you being positive, associating with each other. So how's that going to make you feel?
It's going to make you feel a lot more positive.
Of course it is, because that's all that's happening. And this isn't fake. This is not an exterior. This is not a facade. This is real, because you filled it up. You filled the vessel up with positivity.
Yep.
And you just keep doing it, because positivity then makes you believe things are possible. And once you believe things are possible, you do things And then when you do things and succeed in something, then it makes you feel better. And this continues and continues because feelings are contagious. And if you're in a position then to help other people achieve things, that's even better. And you're actually lifting everyone else around you instead of those idiots who do the news and they put everyone else down. I mean, just take my job, for example, my main job as a personal trainer, okay? And if I had a client who walked through the door and they were all pumped up, they're ready to go, they've got two or three personal bests in mind that they want to achieve, and they say to me, hey, John, I want to do a 300 kg leg press today. What if I said to them, you don't stand a bloody chance. You're crap. You're going to fail. What would they think of me?
They would think that, then, firstly, that they're not going to be able to achieve it because you're obviously the more experienced one, so you probably know more, they'd think. It's obviously going to think you're a negative person then.
And that's right. And then they're going to think that they will probably not, like you just said, not achieve it.
Exactly.
So they'll go into doing the leg press believing that they can't.
Yeah.
What I like to try to get people to do as well is to, whenever something negative enters their mind, swap the vocabulary for something else. Maybe not something so super positive straight away, but something perhaps a little bit more neutral. So here's task two. Whenever you hear anything negative entering your mind, write it down. Write down what it is and how it feels. Then change the vocabulary to something slightly more positive. You know, instead of bloody hell, that's crap, to actually, that's not too bad. You know, it's higher up the scale. Imagine it being a scale. And then maybe you can change it. Well, actually, it's not too bad to, oh, it's pretty good. Pretty damn good, actually. Already your muscles in your face start to feel a bit better. You know, your eyes start to lighten up a little bit more. Your brain will actually start to produce more endorphins and something called serotonin, which is a good, happy drug. And what happens if you start saying, actually, bloody fantastic? And when I say that, even naturally, I'm smiling. I did it without thinking. I just noticed how I did it. Even though it might not be absolutely fantastic, but if that's your mentality, you can get there. It's better than, because how many people do you say during the week, you know, oh, how are you going? Not bad for a Monday. I mean, really? What's that mean? Any day above ground's a good one. I mean, Jesus Christ, this is bloody awful, isn't it? So can they change that vocabulary?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course they can. Because they're the one saying it.
They're in charge. But so the bottom line before we close this section is that people are most of the time in charge of their positivity and negativity. Okay, yes, bad things happen. Take them in your stride, deal with it, and then focus on something more positive. And then do something more positive. You know, and then you might start to enjoy yourself a little bit, physically, mentally, whatever it is. Read some self-help books like mine that's going to be coming out soon. Or somebody else's, Anthony Robbins, Richard Branson. These people are fantastic. Read some autobiographies of people who have succeeded in things and how they've done it. You know, get some inspiration from somebody. Hang around with people who are positive. Ask them how they did it. What did they do to achieve what they achieved? What do they see obstacles as obstacles or do they see them as challenges?
Yeah.
And what sort of mentality is the person who sees it as a challenge? Do they like the challenge? Well, most of the time, yes. It's exciting. It tests them. And that's what we're here to be tested, I believe. We're put on this earth to be tested on how good we can be, not how mediocre and or rubbish. And a lot of people have a negative self-talk. I'm crap. I mean, really? Hi, I'm John. You know? It's bizarre how they can have this other voice telling them how terrible they are.
Yeah.
Who's the judge? I don't know where that judge comes from, but that's what happens. A lot of people start telling themselves how shit they are and how bad they are and all the rest of it, and eventually they'll believe it.
It's almost like in the cartoons where you see the little devil sitting on their shoulder telling him to do something, or there's the positive one on the other side. So just who are they listening to, and who are they going to portray as themselves?
Well, there's only one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, when people say, I'm beating myself up.
Yeah.
Well, how can you? There aren't two of you, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm beside myself. Really? You've duplicated, have you? You know?
Yeah.
There's only one of you.
Yeah.
And you can only beat yourself up from something that's happened in the past. And as we've discussed before, does the past exist?
No.
No, it's gone. So you can only focus on right now. Any questions from you, Mitch?
Pretty much covered everything to do with that topic there. So I think, yeah, we'll jump on into chapter 7 now.
Yeah.
Ties in nicely as well, creating a winning mentality.
Yeah, exactly. So this is a follow-on really as well. So obviously being a sporty type person, it's easy for me to use sports analogies. So for example, if you're playing football and you don't have a coach, you're just a team, okay? You don't really have anybody who's trying to motivate you. You don't have anybody who is really trying to get you excited and up for the game. You just go out there and play. So compared to the other team who has an inspirational coach,
yeah,
who will talk to all of them individually during the week, individually,
yeah,
working out their personalities and making them lift for the game and making them believe in themselves, then talk to them all together at least 4 or 5 times during the week, and then just before the match, psyching them up, making them visualize how to win the game. So which one's got the advantage? Both teams are equal in talent.
Definitely the one that's got the extra coaching, because they're getting that extra encouragement and insight almost. Insight.
Absolutely. So before they've even started, they've got a winning mentality. It doesn't necessarily guarantee a win every time, but they've got the mentality of success because it's in their brain. Remember, we just discussed all of this.
Yeah.
There's nothing negative in their brain. It's all positive imagery, which has been put in there by the coach, the mentor, the whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So if that team wins and then they win the next game by doing exactly what the formula says, the strategies, the template that they've copied time and time and time again, then think of a football team. Mitch, you're an AFL fan. So what team historically has a formula that they've stuck to, which was quite regimented, but it was a success formula?
Probably it's hard to say over the 150 years of AFL history, but more recently, I would say Hawthorn and Geelong are the two teams that have stuck by their formula, and they've been probably the two most successful teams over the last 15, 20 years or so.
Yes.
You can see that obviously their coaches were both very big personalities and they had their certain a range of backup staff. But you can definitely see they've got that.
So with that, those strategies and formulas, does that create inconsistency or consistency?
Consistency, definitely.
That's right. Because they've got a plan. Going back to the plan again. You can't just wing this kind of stuff. You've got to have a plan. Once they start winning regularly, obviously then that creates a winning mentality.
Yeah.
They create an aura. Like the Australian cricket team dominated the world for the best part of 20 years almost.
Yeah.
Damn. But they had a formula and they had an aura about them, which was almost unbeatable. And they all believed in themselves too. That word belief comes back into this right now. You know, and the other teams didn't believe that they could win. So when they were facing Shane Warne, they believed they were going to get out. And they did. Glenn McGrath, same thing. You know, they didn't really believe that they would be good enough to dominate those bowlers.
Yeah.
In the 2000s, early 2000s, Manchester United in the 90s. For 20 years, they dominated. 20 years is incredible.
Yep.
With the same type of formula, with one coach, at Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yep.
Incredible man. I don't know how he's amazing. How much of an inspiration is he? So much so that he influenced referees that at the end of the match, when it went into what we call injury time, it became known as Fergie time.
Yep.
And Manchester United would often score a winning goal in, let's say, 11 minutes of injury/Fergie time, which really should have only been 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But such was the aura of magnificence of this team that it influenced the refs. Yep. Successful formula? Definitely. You know? And the same is in business. I've mentioned Richard Branson before and others like him. They have a successful mentality. They've developed a success belief system inside them. What about McDonald's? How simple? Do they sell nice food?
No.
It's pretty unhealthy, isn't it?
Very.
Yeah, give you a heart attack. Full of saturated fat.
Probably get more nutrition out of the actual box that comes in.
More than likely, yes. That's right, yeah. And you're a vegan, so I'm talking to the right person here. So it's bloody awful food. It's terrible. Let's face it. They are probably the most successful restaurant chain of all time.
Yeah.
All over the world.
No idea.
Yeah. They sell crap food, which gives you high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart attack. Great, isn't it? Eh?
Absolutely.
So, but what people, what the owner did is very clever. He just found out what people want, what they need,
yep.
and exceeded their expectations. Dead simple. And consistency. Anywhere in the world, you can get that same Big Mac anytime, at speed. Doesn't take you long. You know what you're going to get, you get it. So the consistent formula, even in something as simple as a burger joint, has made billions. Now they're also the world's biggest landowner, apparently,
yeah.
which is even more success, because that's more money,
yep.
which to them equals success. Not to everybody, but to them it does. So to create a winning mentality, well, here we go. Let's do the middle of the session task again. So write down an idea that you've got, or it could be to be playing in the football team at the weekend, or a new business idea that you've got. It could be setting up a donut business for what, I don't know, whatever it is. So what do you need to do? Write down the first thing you need to do to create a positive mentality. Write it down. Whatever you think it is. Anybody listening to this, write it down. Then write down as well the next step to a one-year plan of success. Where do you want to be with that business idea? If it is a business idea, or whether you're a local tennis player in the local club or whatever it is, where do you want to be in 1 year? Next question, how are you going to get there? What do you need to do to get there? I hope you're writing. Can't hear those pens scribbling. Get off your ass. Come on, do it now. Then do the same thing for 3 years. Same thing, repeat the same things. Shoot for the stars. Come on. So if it's to run 10K in the Gold Coast Marathon Day, where they have different events, they have a 2.5 and they have a 5. They've got a 10K, there's a 21K, there's a walk, and then there's a 42.2. So if it's 10K 1 year, what might it be in 3 years? Might be a 21. Then do the 5-year plan. If it's a business and you want to open up a hairdressing salon, 1 year might be work from home to have 50 or 60 or 100 people on your database. You know, this might be something you've been putting off, procrastinating for years, saying I should have, I could have, I'm gonna. So the 3-year plan might be to own your full commercial salon and have 4 hairdressers working for you. It could be anything. How are you going to get there? What do you need to do? How are you going to market it? You need to write out the plan. And then lastly, 5 years. Might be to have a chain of hairdressers, donut shops, gluten-free bread shops. I don't know. Whatever it is. Coffee shops. It could be to be known as the best in the area. What are you going to do to achieve that? Write it down. What do you need to do? If you're no good at marketing, then you need to work on your marketing. I was only talking to a very good friend of mine not long ago. I'll change the occupation in case he listens to this. But he's brilliant at what he does. He is a genius. He's fantastic. He might not make it because he doesn't like marketing and he doesn't know how to do it. So, which is such a shame because he's incredibly talented. You've got to look at all your weaknesses and make them into a strength. Okay, if you want to win the local tennis competition and your forehand's fantastic and your serve's fantastic, but your volley's crap and your backhand's crap, it's pretty obvious. So you're going to win it? Well, you'd be lucky to win it once because your opponents are going to exploit your weaknesses next time they play you. So what do you need to do?
To work on your weaknesses.
That's right. And it takes hard work. A lot of people think that, I can just write this stuff down, it's going to happen. It takes hard work. And the harder you work, the luckier you get. And then you get results. So then your winning mentality is easily replicated time and time and time again. And it only takes either complacency by yourself or a genius who comes on and beats you or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So you've got to have that positive mindset to start with. Then when you create positive action, it makes you feel good then it makes you want to do it again, and you grow in confidence, because confidence is from experience. But you've got to get in the arena in the first place to experience anything at all. If you're stood at the side just watching or criticizing, which a lot of people do, you're not going to get anywhere. You're the camper at the bottom. No, actually, you're in the batter shit, stinking, sat in the dark, not even knowing what time of day it is. Again, I was speaking to somebody not long ago who was saying that he had trouble getting out of bed every day.
Yeah.
And that was quite sad to hear. He's turned his life around somewhat.
Yeah.
But he's not in the vat of shit anymore, but he's probably at the bottom of the mountain, I would say.
Yeah.
But he's got the sort of attitude that could take him higher. Because he's decided, he made a decision to create a winning mentality. Questions, Mitch? Fire away.
Is there any tips that you would give people for putting that positive mindset into their brain on the day of, say, a competition? If they were, say, they're a tennis player and they're about to go out and play, is there any things that you can do, exercises or
absolutely
things like that they can do just to get that?
Of course.
I suppose it takes you back to the visualization, because that's exactly what that is.
Well, that's right. Visualizing. Absolutely. Yes, right, you can do all of that. It doesn't have to be on the day either. You can do it as part of the mental build-up. Every single day for a month or whatever. When I had my boxing match, I was visualizing it for 6 months. I didn't even know who my opponent was, but I was visualizing what I had to do. So sometimes you don't worry about what other people are doing. You just focus on you and focus on yourself being the best that you can possibly be and visualize all of that. And then, yes, on the day of the match or the day before, give yourself half an hour, lock yourself away in a room, practice your breathing exercises, because that's the only thing that is happening right now.
Yeah.
This very millisecond. Your breathing is present. And it's the most present thing that we all do. So when you focus on that, it relaxes you. So a technique I use, I breathe in for 5 seconds. And I breathe out for 8 seconds. I won't do that right now because it'll take too long. So you want a time frame. So I breathe out for 8. Not just once, I keep doing it.
Yeah.
For maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah.
While that's happening, I'm also visualizing the way I want the whatever I'm doing to pan out. And all I see is positive, like a mental movie, positivity. And the way I can see it all working out in my favor.
Yeah.
And the only thing, okay, put it this way. If you did the negative version of that, your body language would follow it. Your brain pattern would create the negativity.
Yeah.
You would send out a negative vibe. The opposite happens when you do the positive. So create a winning mentality. You can do that all the way up to the moment that you are about to perform whatever you're about to perform. Okay. Now, during the event, whether it be a stage production, you might be singing in front of a few hundred people.
Yeah.
It could be a business meeting. It could be a sporting thing or whatever it is. If something goes wrong. So if you've got a negative mindset and something goes wrong.
Panic stations.
Now, okay, here we go. Again, Mitch, you were present at an event that I did last year, and it was at a local pub, and I was singing. What happened when I was literally about to start? Because you were in charge of all of the fancy stuff.
Just before you're about to walk on stage, all in brawl broke out in the pokey room, which was about less than 10 metres from where you were going on stage.
Uh-huh.
And then the place was flooded with multiple police officers coming to sort out the altercation in the pokey room.
Yeah, there's a bit of blood as well, wasn't there?
Definitely, some ripped shirts, some blood, some very angry people.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I was due to start, I think it was 7:30, and what happened?
You ended up getting away a little bit late, was it?
7:35.
Yeah, 7:35. It wasn't far off. Like the police were still coming in and
in and out
during your first few songs. Yeah. But you didn't let it hinder you to the point where I think a lot of people probably would have just went, oh, we're just going to have to wait till this all gets settled out. You just carried on with the show. The show must go on.
That's right. Yeah. So we carried on, because had I showed negativity and let it distract me, there were probably about 50 odd people there, weren't there?
Yeah.
Watching. So they would have followed my thoughts and feelings, etc., because it passes on.
Yeah.
It's contagious, like I said earlier.
Yeah.
But I couldn't allow that, because they came for a reason. They came to watch me. So I had to do it. I had no choice.
Yeah.
So if you put yourself in a no choice situation, there's no U-turns, no roundabouts, no stop signs. You've got to go forward and that's it. That's a winning mentality. Not just, I'm going to win the game. You just make a decision. You just you give yourself no bloody choice and you just do it. Okay. In your tasks, what you can do as well is write down who you believe is a role model of someone who has a winning mentality, or not just one person, a few. Yep. So if you know them personally, write it down and then go and have a chat with them. Find out what makes them tick. Find out what happens when they're faced with adversity, when something goes wrong in their life. How do they deal with it? What do they do? Because yep. things happen. Shit happens. You know, it depends how you deal with it. If it's somebody who you don't know, but they're famous, get one of their books. Read their autobiography. You know, Jerry Harvey, like him or not, from Harvey Norman. He's got an interesting career.
Yeah.
Very interesting. He wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
Yeah.
And there's loads of stories like this. Start reading some success stories and filling your brain with positivity and a winning mentality. It'll make you feel better, at least.
Excellent. Well, yeah, thanks for coming in again, John, having another chat about another couple of chapters in the book. And yeah, until next time, take care.
Let's all have a winning mentality.